I'm going to be giving us our first reading, which is Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 19, and you can find that in the order of service. This reading is from right back at the beginning of the Bible, and it explains to us what's gone wrong with the world. So Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What's this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return."
I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. Isaiah prophesies the birth of Jesus 700 years before he was born. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, a bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this."
This evening's reading is going to be from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. The story is concerning an angel appearing to Jesus to explain Mary's pregnancy, a rather perplexed Joseph. "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you, Alistair, very much indeed. Let me read to you again that verse in bold there, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The angel speaking to Joseph, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Should we bow our heads and have a moment of prayer to ask for God's help to understand this verse? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would shine your light, as it were, onto these words this evening, that we might understand more about Jesus, the light of the world, and that we might follow him. Amen. And so this is Christmas. Thank you so much for joining us this evening at our first Christmas carol service. And a big thank you to all the readers and the singers and musicians as well for making it happen. I wonder if I could start by asking you a question. As we face Christmas 2019, what is the big issue that we face in society today? What is the big issue? Maybe some of us are thinking, well, the big issue, that's that homelessness magazine, which raises awareness about homelessness. And that is certainly a big issue in our society today. Homelessness, according to the latest statistics, has risen by 15%. And the average age at which a homeless person dies is just 44 years old. So it is a big issue. Others would say, no way, it's bigger than that. We've got to go not local, but global. We are talking about climate change, and that is the big issue today. Some are saying that it's already too late, or we're very nearly passing the point of no return. And campaigners like Greta Thunberg, the teenage campaigner, she recently said to politicians in Brussels, I want you to act like the house is on fire, because it is. But it's just days after the election, and others would look to politics, and they say that the big issue facing our country at the moment is Brexit. And depending on how you voted, either we're about to make a very big mistake, or we're finally going to get it done. But actually, my take on this latest election is that it was an election about trust. Some of us went to the local election hustings. And one of the questions that was asked was about whether we can trust the politicians to carry out the promises that they've made. And one BBC commentator said that actually we would be choosing between which of the leaders we distrust least. Homelessness, climate change, Brexit, trust, they are all certainly big issues. But what if there's a bigger issue? What if actually there's an issue which underpins and underlies all those other issues? An issue which, if only we got to grips with it, would actually begin to sort out some of those other issues that we face as we approach 2020. That's why it's so good to head back to basics, as it were, back to the Bible, and to these verses from Matthew's Gospel. Christians believe that the Bible is God speaking to us, and therefore, as we turn to the Bible, we're not going to find fake news or empty promises. We're going to find the truth, God addressing us clearly, directly, and lovingly. And in this third reading from Matthew, which Alistair read to us, as he said, it's the point where, shockingly, we meet a young man whose girlfriend is pregnant with a child that he didn't father, being told by a messenger from heaven that the baby is from God. Well, get your head around that one. And the baby is to be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And the name Jesus actually means God rescues, God the Savior. So here we are, 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, at a moment that seems so distant, and actually it's so relevant for 2019 and heading into 2020. Because in this verse, we see the big issue and actually the big solution as well. Well, I don't know about you, but I hate it when people don't tell me the full story. If someone's qualified to tell you something, maybe a doctor or a teacher, and they withhold something from you, I don't like that very much. And I'd imagine that you are in the same place as well. And that's why it's good news that the Bible tells us the bad news as well as the good news. And it's fair to say that the angel doesn't mince his words as he spells out what the big issue is. It's there plainly in these verses. And I'm afraid to say it's not very politically correct. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, the angel is talking about the Jewish nation and their need to be rescued from God's anger for the way in which they'd consistently and ruthlessly turned their back on God and gone their own way. But as we often say at Christchurch Huntingdon, whenever we point the finger, there's actually three pointing back at ourselves. And the word sin, although it's not politically correct, is the diagnosis that the Bible has for each one of us. It's a simple word with I in the middle, S-I-N. And that's a good summary of what sin is. I, me, at the centre of my life. And actually, it's the problem that underlies all other problems. So if we're going to get to grips with the good news of Christmas, first of all, we need to get to grips with the bad news. And this is the big issue, sin. Or in its plural form, the specifics, sins. And actually, as I said at the beginning, if we get to grips with this big issue, then it begins to make sense of all the other issues as well. If you think about it, there's a reason why homeless people are sleeping on the streets. It's because of broken human relationships caused by selfishness. There's a reason why people won't change their ways to protect this planet. That's because we're selfish and we don't want to stop doing the things that we want. And there's a reason why you can't always trust me, because sometimes getting my way is more important than telling you the truth. And that's why it's difficult to trust one another. So actually, this issue of sin, as we're beginning to see, underpins all of the other issues. But sin isn't just me at the center of my life. Actually, it's me sitting on God's throne. It's me at the center because I don't want God to be God over me. I wonder if you've ever really thought about this big issue. We live in God's world, but we don't want him. We want the gifts, but we don't want the giver. We need to feel a sort of cold shiver run up our spines as we consider this theme of sin, because it explains the shockwaves that has brought such fragmentation and brokenness into our neighborhoods, our families, and our communities. It's a crisis which actually you can see more clearly than climate change, but none of us likes to admit it. We can see it on our news feeds, because we can see stabbings on London Bridge, genocide or potentially genocide in Myanmar, rich and powerful men who can buy off their victims of sexual harassment so that they don't have to admit that they've done anything wrong. But it comes closer than that. We see it in our own families, fights, fallings out, divorce, strains on mental health. We see it in our own lives, fighting bitterness, lies, and selfishness. And that's just me, and I'm an Anglican vicar. But we don't like to admit it because none of us really wants to front up to it. But actually, understanding the bad news is part of understanding the good news so that we can see if there's any solution. You see, you have to go deep under the issue to really get to the bottom of it to see what the big issue is. Now, that this issue of sin doesn't mean that I never do anything right or anything good. All of us have got moments of our lives that we're proud of, and the same of our families as well. But at the center of my heart is faulty and guilty. And therefore, this is an issue which is far bigger than climate change, because it doesn't just affect my environmental future. It affects my eternal future. And Jesus himself was loving enough to warn us about where sin ends up. He loved us enough to tell us the truth about sin. We want a doctor who's going to tell us exactly what's gone wrong. I don't want a doctor to hold back. Well, listen to Jesus as he explains where sin ends up. Jesus said, "Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So Jesus is lovingly warning us of where sin takes us. And that's why it's such a big issue. I guess we're excited here in Huntingdon to have our new A14 opening up. And how many of us have already taken a trip down it because we took the wrong exit at Bar Hill? Well, it's great to have a new road, a new bypass. But Ely, just across the fens, isn't quite as in good shape. They have a new bypass, but I'm afraid to say it's sinking into the fens. Their bypass has stumbled because the foundations don't go deep enough, and they're having to inject £13 million worth of concrete into it to make sure that it doesn't sink too far. You see, you've got to go deep enough. And that's why it's such wonderful news that Jesus does go deep enough. And the angel explains that the real problem of the human condition, the heart of the human problem, is the problem of the human heart. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And it's actually good news to learn about the big issue, because then we can address whether something can be done and whether we can get ourselves out of it. But I'm afraid we can't. There was a young lad walking in the fens in what was then called Huntingdonshire back in 1851, up in Home, some of you will know it, where Whittlesea Mere used to be until it got dried out. And he was a long way from home and he started to sink into the mud. And he sunk right up to his neck in the mud, and he would have gone deeper except that there was peat just below his feet, and so he was stuck there, and he couldn't get out. His parents thought that he'd gone to visit his grandparents over in Sawtree, and so they just assumed all was well. But he was in that bog overnight. The next day, he was still there in the freezing cold, barely alive. He'd been shouting out all night, but by this stage, he was so tired and so exhausted that he couldn't even call out. One man, a local labourer, actually came nearby, but he was too exhausted to be able to shout for help. But miraculously, the boy was spotted and he was hauled out of the mud to safety. Now that boy is a picture of us. We're drowning in our sin. We can't help ourselves. Some of us have tried all our lives to try and sort ourselves out, but we can't. We need a rescue from the outside. And that's why the good news is such wonderful news. Yes, the big issue of our sin, but the big solution of our rescuer. Let's look at our verse again. She, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Just suppose a friend of yours is working on the perfect Christmas pudding and they've got all the perfect ingredients, even the threepenny bit, the little coin? I think that health and safety says that you shouldn't actually include that coin anymore. But the perfect recipe is all going really well, and then disaster, something goes wrong with the oven or with the recipe, and it's a complete nightmare. The perfect Christmas pudding has turned into the nightmare Christmas pudding. And because of your excellent cooking skills, maybe you've performed on Great Bake Off or something like that, your friend calls to you and says, can you help me rescue my Christmas pudding? And you say, rescue is my middle name. And you come to his or her kitchen and you sort everything out, and then at the end of the day, there is the perfect Christmas pud just ready to go. Well, did you know that Jesus' name, Yeshua, or Joshua, might even be a Joshua here with us today. Andy, is your son called Joshua? Andy at the back. No, I'm trying to remember. We have got some Joshuas, haven't we? Where are the Gilberts? Yeah, great. He's in bed. I'm sure you knew this, Alice, when you named him. But Joshua means God the rescuer. God rescues. And it's the same name as Jesus. And so when Jesus's parents, his mum and his, I guess, his mum and his stepfather were told to name him Jesus, they were saying, give him the name, same as Joshua, a great rescuer in the Old Testament, give him the name God rescues, because he's going to save his people from their sins. And that is why Christmas is such good news, because God has taken pity on us. He sees his rebellious humanity drowning in the mud, as it were, and he comes to earth on a rescue mission. You see, Christmas points to Easter, because Jesus was born to die. He came into this world to die for our sins. He didn't stand by the side and saying, try and sort yourself out your own way. He knew that there was nothing that we could do. He sent his son as a tiny baby to come into the world for you and for me so that we might be rescued. If you like, God got his hands dirty. He's a down-to-earth God. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. He's an outgoing God. And he loves each one of us. And so he sent his son into this world for you and for me to pay for our sins instead with his own blood. When Jesus died on the cross, he was taking the punishment instead of us for all the things that we've done wrong. And now to anyone who receives his rescue, he comes with power to change our lives now and to take us to the perfect new creation in the future. So Jesus is the most wonderful gift that we could ever receive this Christmas. Jesus is God, and Jesus is alive because he rose from the dead, and he stands before us, as it were, this evening, offering himself to us, saying, will you let me rescue you and take away your sins and change you from the inside out and fit us for heaven so that we can be with him there? You'll give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So it remains for me to ask you this evening, do you agree that this is our biggest issue? Do you agree that ultimately behind all the problems in the world, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart? And if you are willing to admit that, isn't there wonderful news at Christmas? News of a big issue, but the news of a big solution. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And he will, when you put your trust in him, he will save you. He will rescue you and he will take us to be with him forever as a free gift that we don't deserve. So the question remains, will we be one of his people? And that probably leaves us in one of three places. Many of us, perhaps most of us here this evening, would say, yes, I have put my trust in Jesus. This isn't the first time that I'm hearing about this. I've heard about Jesus before, and indeed, I've put my trust in him. And maybe some of us can name a place and a time where we did that. For others, maybe it was more gradual as we were growing up or over a period of time as we were first thinking about this. And for us, Christmas is the time for us to rejoice and to thank God again that we don't get to heaven because we're any good. But we get to heaven because he is good and because he is a rescuer who reaches down into the mud of our sin to rescue us. So some of us, we've already turned to Jesus and we will be rejoicing. Others of us are more unsure. Maybe we're attracted to what we've heard about Jesus this evening, but maybe we've still got big questions. Big questions about whether really the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Maybe all sorts of questions about whether Christianity really is true. A baby in a manger and angels speaking to teenage parents, if they were teenagers. It just raises far too many questions. Well, if that's you, can I encourage you to ask your questions? In the new year, we'll be starting a course called Christianity Explore. We're going to show a short clip from it in just a moment, which is an excellent video-based course which takes us back to the Bible to understand and get to grips with Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's come to do. And as well as that, it gives a chance for anyone to ask any question that they've got in a small group without any embarrassment. You won't be asked to do anything embarrassing like sing or pray, just simply to ask a question if you've got one, or listen to others if they bring questions as well. We're starting this on the 2nd of January, and if that would be a helpful course to you, please have a word with me afterwards, and my details are on the back page so that you can find out more about that course. So some are already followers of Jesus and we're rejoicing this Christmas. Others are unsure and we want to ask our questions, and there'll be time over tea and coffee to talk to one another and to ask those questions, or as the the Christmas season and the new year comes along. Maybe there are others who are convinced. Maybe you haven't been convinced before, but as we've looked at this verse together this evening, you can agree that the big issue of the world is our sin. And you've seen that the big solution is Jesus Christ. And you know that tonight, perhaps for the first time, you'd like to ask Jesus Christ into your life to be your king and your rescuer. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to lead us in a short prayer now. And as I pray a prayer in which you can commit your life to Jesus Christ, you might want to echo it in your own hearts as you decide this evening that Jesus, you want him to come and rescue you out of the mud of your sin. So let's bow our heads. Let's have a moment of quiet. Maybe a moment for each of us to consider where we stand. Are we committed Christians who are rejoicing? Are we unsure? We've got loads of questions that we want to ask. Or do we want to commit to Jesus Christ and, as it were, ask him to rescue us from our sin? Let's pray together. I'll pray this prayer slowly so that you can agree in your heart and perhaps echo these words for yourself. We're going to say A, B, C. We're going to admit our sin. We're going to believe that Jesus is the good news. And we're going to call on him and turn to him as our Lord and our Saviour. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our lives that you've given us. We thank you for all the good things that you've given us in this life. But we want to admit that there is a big issue in society, in the world, and in our own hearts. We want to say sorry for our sins. We think now of the specific issues in our lives that separate us from one another and from you. We're sorry for these things and ask for your help to turn from them. But we believe that Jesus is the great solution. That he came into this world not to give us advice, but to give us a rescue. And that he died on the cross to forgive our sins, to open the doorway back to heaven, and to welcome us back in. Lord Jesus, we put our trust in you as our rescuer. And so now, having admitted our sin and believe that Jesus is the King, the rescuer, we now call on him to come and forgive us, to rescue us, to take us, to be with him, to change our lives, to fit us for heaven, to live with him there. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the big issue and making that clear to us this evening. And we thank you for the big solution in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.